In this part of Focus, we'll be talking about human rights in Latin America, and very specifically about the School of the Americas. School of the Americas is a U.S. Army training school that trains soldiers and military personnel from around Latin America in various kinds of subjects, things like counterinsurgency and military intelligence. The school has been around since 1946, and over that time, more than 60,000 members of Latin American militaries have attended. Among the graduates of the School of the Americas, some of the worst human rights abusers in Latin America. This morning, in this part of Focus 580, we'll be talking with the founder of an organization that has been working now for a number of years through nonviolent protest to see the School of the Americas closed. Our guest is Father Roy Bourgeois. He was born and grew up in Louisiana. After attending college, he served in the Navy for 4 years, 2 years at sea, 1 year at a NATO station in Europe, and 1 year of shore duty in Vietnam. After his military service, he entered seminary of Mary Knoll Missionary Order and was ordained Catholic priest in 1972. He worked in Bolivia and in El Salvador and became an outspoken critic of U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. In 1990, he founded this organization, School of the Americas Watch. They do research on the School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia. They are located just outside the main entrance of Fort Benning. They also have an office in Washington, D.C., and he has since then spent a lot of time traveling around the country speaking on this issue. He's here visiting in our area and will be speaking tonight at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston in the Bizard Auditorium at 7th and Polk at 7. It's free and open to the public, so anybody in and around East Central Illinois, if you're interested in hearing him, you certainly can feel welcome to go over there to Charleston. And, of course, here this morning on the program, we are open to your questions and comments. To take part in the show, all you have to do is pick up the telephone and give us a call. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Well, thanks very much for being with us.
It's good to be with you, Dave.
I appreciate it. I wonder if you wouldn't mind if I just ask you a question about yourself first before we get into talking about School of the Americas. How is it that after your military service, you decided that you wanted to be a priest?
Well, actually, Vietnam was a turning point in my life, I think in the lives of many of us. Young men that we were in Vietnam, I went over there, as many of us did, knowing so little about this country, believing our leaders. I can identify with a lot of young men now going to the Army recruiting station, signing up for war. That was me years ago. I didn't question them. I came out of a very conservative background in Louisiana, degree in geology from the university. It wasn't a progressive college. I didn't have teachers, professors, others telling me to look at this with critical eyes. We basically accepted our leaders' decisions, and I ended up going off to Vietnam, volunteering for shore duty, believing we had to stop the spread of communism. And it was a turning point in my life. The suffering there, the violence, the death, losing friends, wounded when I was there, I was forced, really, to ask questions I had never asked before, look at my faith more seriously. But it was there that I first, really, in the madness of it all, began to question this whole issue of violence. And I think it very, very appropriate that we ask that today. You know, we were killing, they were killing. You know, we lost 48,000, they lost over a million. And then at some point, years down the road, we finally came to a table and realized that this is not the way out of this. This more killing, the violence, the death. And but I remember, you know, in college reading a little bit about people like Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Dorothy Day. Well, all of a sudden, their words began to take a little more meaning in my life. I was trying to look for some hope out of this. And I left Vietnam wanting to give peacemaking a chance, into the Mary Knoll Order, a group working in 25 countries around the world trying to serve the poor. I was later ordained a Catholic priest and now went to Bolivia to serve the poor. And that's where I really got educated on U.S. foreign policy. They are living in a barrio on the outskirts of La Paz, Bolivia. The poor became my teachers. There we were, our country, the United States, supporting a brutal dictator, General Banzer, who had come into power through a violent coup. And there were his men with the guns, the bullies. The military there defending a socioeconomic system in Bolivia and throughout Latin America, really, that kept a small elite very wealthy, very powerful, and the vast majority struggling for survival. It was there, too, in Bolivia and throughout Latin America that the large corporations came seeking profits, where the huge profits to be made from the cheap labor and the vast resources there. The poor often refer to our country and the corporations coming in, our military, as the new conquistadors. They came into their countries from Spain and Portugal in the 16th century to enrich themselves, and they're doing it today. The new conquistadors, of course, are coming in representing the sweatshops, the IMF, the World Bank, the corporations. And our foreign policy there really is very, very closely allied to that system. And, you know, really trying to sustain that system that would give to us huge profits. I have to say this, that the people of Latin America do see a relationship, a causal relationship from our wealth and between our wealth and power, all of this militarism, our foreign policy, and their misery, their poverty. We know today that we've got 4%, our country, 4% of the U.S., of the world's population, yet we use something like 45% of its resources. It was in my fifth year in Bolivia, let me just say, where I was arrested with a group from the university for speaking out for human rights, speaking out against the repression, and came home and became very involved in educational work, trying to help people in our country, the United States, what our foreign policy was like in Latin America. We were simply on the wrong side. We were on the side of the men with the guns, again, to protect those profits that we wanted.
Maybe just real quick here, I should, for anybody who's just tuned in, I should introduce again our guest. We're speaking with Father Roy Bourgeois. He is a Roman Catholic priest and has for some time now been an outspoken critic of U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. In 1990, he founded an organization called the School of the Americas Watch that was interested in promoting awareness of the School of the Americas, a training facility that has now since 1946 trained more than 60,000 people from Latin American militaries. And the concern is that some of those people went home and became some of the worst human rights abusers in Latin America, and that their training there at the School of the Americas was paid for by U.S. taxpayers.
Right. Let me just, it was after coming back from Bolivia that I became very involved in El Salvador. It was, many of our listeners perhaps would remember the assassination of Archbishop Oscar Romero, gunned down in this church for his defense of the poor. Just months later, four U.S. church women from our country were raped and killed by the military of El Salvador. Two of them were friends, Marinol sisters, Maura Clark and Edith Ford, an Ursuline nun, Dorothy Kazo from Cleveland, among them with lay missionary Gene Donovan, also from Cleveland. When that happened, it brought many of us in our country closer to that situation. When we went there, what we found was our country once again arming, training these soldiers who had raped, who had killed the church women, and also were at war with their people. And what happened, we began to protest, many of us, through nonviolence. We started training hundreds of soldiers at Fort Benning, Georgia during this time, bringing them from El Salvador to train them in combat skills. I and friends went there to Fort Benning to protest. We went on to Fort Benning at night, three of us, dressed as high-ranking Army officers, carrying with us a very powerful boombox that contained the last sermon of Bishop Romero that he broadcast, actually that he gave in the cathedral the day before he was assassinated, calling on the military to lay down their arms to stop the killing. So three of us went on to Fort Benning at night, penetrated this high-security area, scaled this tall pine tree right near the barracks, and when the last lights went out, we just boomed Romero's message into the barracks, and I must say they were very upset with us. We were arrested, brought to trial, sent to prison for a year and a half. Prison was hard, but I must say they couldn't silence us. We spoke from prison. When we got out of prison, we joined thousands of people, many from this area, trying to end that military aid to El Salvador, but we couldn't do it. November the 16th, 1989, another massacre, front pages of our newspapers. This time, six Catholic priests of a very influential order called the Jesuits, who run 28 universities in our country, Georgetown, Marquette, Loyola, Holy Cross, and others. They're at their university in El Salvador. After midnight, they're dragged out of their rooms, these six Jesuit priests, most of them scholars, their co-worker, a young mother, and her 15-year-old daughter, Selena. And they're massacred. A U.S. congressional task force went to investigate. At that time, we were pumping $1 million a day into El Salvador's military. They come back reporting that those responsible were trained at the U.S. Army School of the Americas at Fort Benning, Georgia. That's when I returned to Georgia, and right outside of the main gate, found this little apartment. A soldier had just been transferred, and that became our School of the Americas watch, SOA watch. I was joined by friends, Kathy Kelly from Chicago, who's doing a lot of work today on Iraq, Voices in the Wilderness. A Jesuit came from Boston. Charlie Litke came, a recipient of the Medal of Honor in Vietnam. And what we did, we had a lot of research to do. We knew so little about this school, David. In Latin America, it was well known as a school for dictators. Graduates, General Manuel Noriega from Panama, doing 30 years in a federal prison in Miami for drug running. General Bonzo, this brutal dictator from Bolivia I lived under, not only a graduate, but in 1988 inducted into the school's Hall of Fame, where his photograph hangs on the wall today with some 25 generals presented as model soldiers. Death squad leaders went through here, like Dubuisson from El Salvador. Now, in 1984, where the school had been operating since 1946, it was kicked out of Panama. Noriega said this was a training ground for assassins. He no longer wanted it on Panamanian soil, so it quietly settled at Fort Benning, Georgia, where today it's operating full force, training about 1,200 soldiers from countries like El Salvador, Guatemala. Most of the soldiers come in there today from Colombia. I'll have to mention that a little later, what's going on in Colombia. Mm-hmm. And combat school, they're learning how to be commandos. They're learning psychological warfare, counterinsurgency. Who are the insurgents? They are who they've always been. They are the poor. They're the primary targets, those who call for land reform, those who talk about just wages. They need schools. They need hospitals. Their kids are dying before their time. Now, when they speak out, soldiers trained at this school are there, over 60,000 of them throughout Latin America, really to defend that system again and our U.S. foreign policy there and the corporations there. And the targets also are university leaders, church leaders, labor leaders, human rights advocates. They also become the targets of those who learn their lessons at this school. So let me just say, we learned about this school, went down and did research, and as we began to take our research involving so much suffering and death, what we learned was those responsible, not only for the massacre and the two women trained here.
Earlier this year, there was a proposal in Congress to close the School of the Americas, which was not successful. One of the things that did happen, though, was they changed the name. I think your argument, the people who are concerned about the school, is that that was a change in name only, that the activities would go on. That hasn't changed.
Cosmetic. Let me just say what happened. We started with a small group meeting down in November at the main gate of Fort Benning every November. Keep their memory alive, the memory of the victims. The next year, 200 came. Next year, 600. This past year, 10,000 gathered there. Half were college students from all over the country. And veterans, senior citizens, parents with their kids. And we were there to call for the closing of this school. Responsible, again, graduates responsible for the assassination of Romero, the rape and murder, the churchwoman, the Jesuits, and many others. The Pentagon was under a lot of pressure, so they had to do something. So what they did this past January, they changed the name from the School of the Americas to the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. I'm happy to say no one has been fooled by this. It's a new name, but the same shame. It's still about men with guns. It's still about a combat school. It's also still about our money being used, about $15 million a year, to finance this school. And what we are saying is that this money should be going into schools for our children, should be going into social programs. What they are going to do next, I don't know, because we are going back in November the 17th and 18th, and I invite our listeners to be there with us. Many will be coming from throughout the state. And we're going to be there. Now we feel it's very important to be there more than ever to address this whole issue of violence, to really look critically with our at our country's foreign policy and what it's doing, not only in Latin America, but in other countries. How we view ourselves today in our country is not how others would perceive us. And this is what I've learned in Latin America. It really, I must say this, when I first went over to Bolivia, then later to El Salvador, and just returned from Colombia, it saddened me. It angered me to see what my country is doing to the people there, how we are allied to the military, to that small elite there, to protect, again, our economic interests there. But if I could just mention Colombia, because this is so important, and then I would like to perhaps hear from our listeners. But Colombia, we went there a couple months ago to check out this Plan Colombia. We're pumping our country $1.3 billion into this country to try and stop the flow of cocaine into our country from coming from the coca plants grown there in the countryside of this beautiful country, Colombia. We spoke with our U.S. ambassador there, the top-ranking military, of course. They're cheerleaders for this program. It's enriching the military, gives them a lot more power, a lot more wealth. Then we went to Putumayo, the southern region of the country, where we met with the indigenous leaders and the farmers, where Plan Colombia is really being implemented. What it's about, we're spraying, fumigating this strong chemical called glyphosate, very similar to what we know here is Roundup that's produced by Monsanto, who brought us Agent Orange in Vietnam. Well, this chemical is twice as strong as Roundup. I've got here an advertisement, actually, about this Roundup, how it's advertised here. Keep out of reach of children, danger, caution. Well, this chemical, twice as strong now, is being sprayed over these cocoa fields. It's going into their food crops. It's burning immediately their bananas, the rice, the yuca. And we met with the indigenous leaders. They took us into their fields, into their humble homes, dirt shacks, no running water, where we also met with their children. Now, this chemical is going into their rivers after rain. It's killing their fish. It's killing their cattle, their pigs, their few chickens. They showed to us their children suffering from respiratory problems, skin rashes. And they had a very important question for us. You know, how would you feel if we went to your country and sprayed this strong chemical and caused all of these problems? Plan Colombia, they refer to as un plan de muerte. It's a plan of death. And I know how we would feel. We'd be outraged. I mean, this would be unthinkable. But that's what we are doing in Colombia. Do many of us here in our country know what's going on there? No, we don't. A few. Perhaps many who would listen to, you know, to the NPR station, but yes. But this is the reality we're dealing with. A lot of our people here at home and many in Congress, we're illiterate when it comes to U.S. foreign policy. And I think it's time, though, this as difficult as it is, I think, David, it could be a teachable moment for us. Mm-hmm. We've got to start asking questions perhaps we've never asked before. They're threatening questions, but we've got to look at this with critical eyes. And really, I think right now more than ever what we need, you know, are people with some wisdom. I think we need people like Mahatma Gandhi and Dr. King and Dorothy Day and others with us. They're not with us, but I think we can draw on their wisdom and experience and speak for them.
Yeah. Just and one thing that I want to touch on, we were talking earlier about the School of the Americas, and which has been a main focus for you and your organization for some time. And this vote on to close it and to conduct a congressional investigation that took place earlier this year, this actually came close to passing. It only failed by 10 votes. So you would have to also assume that this this did have bipartisan support. It couldn't have gotten that close to passing without a lot of Republicans
voting
for it as well as Democrats.
We should talk about the legislative work. That's so important, really. It's our way of closing down the school. It's our members of Congress that's using our money to support this school for thugs, this school really for violence. Some are referring to it as a school for terrorists. And it was the year before last that we actually won in the House of Representatives by 33 votes to cut off the funding. It failed in conference committee in the Senate by one. So that's when they went into the name change. We lost by 10. Right now, pending in Congress, is a very important bill. It's H.R., House Resolution 1810. And what this bill is about, it's a simple bill. It calls for the cutting off of all funding to the school. And I really would encourage our listeners to write your representative, your senators, with the simple request, support H.R. 1810, shut down the School of Assassins, School of the Americas. They're going to know what you're talking about because they've been very involved in this issue. We've got two co-sponsors, a Republican, Joe Scarborough from Florida, and Jim McGovern from Massachusetts. We really miss Representative Joe Moakley. He was our person there in Congress who was fighting so hard to close this school. He died just a few months ago. We miss him. He's passed the baton on to his friend Jim McGovern from Massachusetts. And we've got work to do, but we feel there's a lot of support out there, in Congress, but we need those letters to go there.
We're at our midpoint here in this part of Focus 580, and I think I should introduce again our guest for anyone who's tuned in last maybe 10 minutes or so. We're speaking with Father Roy Bourgeois. He is founder and co-director of the School of America's Watch, located in Fort Benning, Georgia. He's a Roman Catholic priest. He was ordained in 1972 in the Maryknoll Missionary Order. Before going into seminary, he served in Vietnam and, in fact, received a Purple Heart. When he entered the Maryknolls, since that time, he's been working for and with the poor of Central and South America and has become a vocal critic of the School of the Americas. He's here in our area visiting and speaking, and of course, he spends a lot of his time traveling around and talking about these issues. He'll be speaking tonight at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston in the Bizard Auditorium, 7th and Polk. At 7, and that's free and open to the public. And, of course, here, people who are listening, if you have questions, comments, you can call 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. I know that the people who run the School of Americas have said that, very straightforward and right out, they said, we don't train people to be human rights abusers. Mm-hmm. That here we have had since 1946, more than 60,000 people come through the school. Mm-hmm. And yes, some of those people went on to violate the human rights of their fellow citizens, but we didn't teach them to do that. It was only a few, and you can't really hold us responsible if sometime later a small percentage of the people that we've trained went on to commit crimes.
Let's address that. First, a small percentage. They refer to these soldiers who went back and tortured, raped, massacred, disappeared thousands. There's a few bad apples. First of all, they're not apples. They're soldiers. We trained in combat. And really, there's this thing we call complicity. You know, if you bring to a combat school at a U.S. Army base in Georgia, soldiers from El Salvador, Guatemala, the most violent of all militaries, and those from Colombia and other countries, who have an atrocious human rights record, and you teach them how to be commandos. You teach them in psychological warfare. I have here, the front page of the Washington Post, 1996. Here's the, there are these manuals that have been discovered. Here it is, Washington Post, front page. U.S. instructed Latins on executions and torture. They discovered these manuals at the school that advocated torture. Did they apologize? No. They simply said, we withdrew the manuals, like they're withdrawing faulty GM trucks or something. Here's the situation. It's not a few bad apples. We have documented, and there are many more, but 1% of the graduates have returned after their training here. and have been involved in human rights abuses. And we're not talking about one death, you know, from one soldier. Massacres, rapes, torture, disappearance of many. And it's, you know, if from any university, let's say the university here in town, every 100 graduates, you've got one who's going to go into the community and commit these types of crimes, this university would be shut down. Something else. I've spent a little over 4 years in U.S. federal prisons around the country for these nonviolent protests against U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. And there are a lot of inmates I meet when I go to prison who are in there for conspiracy. They knew of a crime. They were involved in a crime directly or indirectly. And I'll tell you, it's my hope that one day we can have a trial about, you know, get to the, you know, a truth commission report about what our country has done over the years and continues to do today in Latin America through our foreign policy, through this whole issue of militarism. And to bring those, I was actually giving a talk recently in Barcelona, Spain, and a student asked that. You know, when are we going to bring to trial here? Because they were trying to get General Pinochet there to answer for his crimes against humanity. In Chile, many Spaniards died there during his dictatorship. Mm-hmm. And they asked, when are we going to have our trials here to bring to trial people like Henry Kissinger, Elliot Abrams, and others who have been very responsible through their decision-making, through their foreign policy implementation in Latin America. And those students there just all applauded. But a truth commission on what our country has done, as there's been a truth commission, truth and reconciliation commission in South Africa, a truth commission report in El Salvador and Guatemala. And it's very important, I think, now with the Cold War behind us to move in this direction.
We have a couple of callers here, several, in fact. Let's talk with them. We'll start in Champaign County and line one. Hello.
WL.
Hello. Is there
Hi.
A caller line one? Go ahead.
I have really two issues that I'd like to have explored. If there is to be moral force in regard to opposition of the School of Americas, I think the role of the Catholic Church writ large, that is the policies from Rome, need to provide some of the basis for opposition then too. And it's my understanding that the activist priests in Latin America were told to be silent, and it's not the church policy to support the common people of many of these countries where these trainees go back to support the elite in suppressing the common people. So I'd like you to talk about that a bit.
Okay, let me just address that right now. First of all, I see very little hope coming from spiritual leaders today. I mean, I see our president in his national address. You know, there are a lot of our, you know, Catholic cardinals, bishops, and other church leaders there, you know, becoming, you know, cheerleaders for the military. A lot of our spiritual leaders have become corporate executives. I can only say what's needed now are people from the grassroots to bring some, you know, some sanity to what we're going through here. We're at a crossroads. What's our way out of this? I want to say I'm traveling to a lot of colleges mostly right now. And also churches, and I see a lot of church people who are trying to put this in the context of their faith, but I see little hope coming, as I did in Vietnam during the Gulf War. They draw on the church leaders, our so-called spiritual leaders in the country, to unify the country to go off to war. Our way out of this, I see actually in today's paper, the Daily
Illini.
You know, we've got hundreds of students, you know, from the University of Illinois who are coming together to simply say, you know, retaliation is not the way. And I've been going out, this is all I do now, going out to colleges, universities, huge crowds, 200-300, and students are coming together and really speaking out. And I see this as our hope out of this. This is a grassroots issue here. It's grassroots people, and I learned this in Latin America. It's going to come from the base, not from the top down. Grassroots people like you and I, like these university students and people in the pews, we've got to come together, unite and simply say, not in our name.
I certainly understand the grassroots issue and the need for the people to provide expression to opposition. But that opposition would certainly have a great deal more for us if Rome would...
Yes, wishful thinking. Please, let me just say this.
But I understand that Rome is in opposition.
Yeah, no, the Pope, he'll come up with statements saying, you know, we've got to use some patience here, but, you know, we can't go there and retaliate. But yet they move now into the just war theory. Let me just say something very important. Do not sit back and wait for our Pope or for our spiritual leaders to get us out of this. There's not time. We cannot wait. We'll be waiting a long time. We've got to act.
I understand that. Maybe the second issue, then, that I'd like to hear your views on goes back to perhaps the call from Bobby Kennedy in his book years and years ago for the United States to support revolutions in Latin America to really provide the basis for change.
Yeah, well, for revolution, you know, our country has been on the wrong side. If we look at what's going on in Latin America historically, you know, we've been on the side of the dictators, the men with the guns, not on the side of the oppressed, not on the side of the poor who make up the vast majority of the population. I want to say our movement, among many movements in our country now working for peace and justice issues, our movement early on, we realized when we started with just a handful of people who had worked in Latin America and knew firsthand the brutality of the military, we knew we were confronting an institution that advocated violence, the School of the Americas and its soldiers coming from Latin American countries who were so violent. Our way out of this was through nonviolence. We drew on the experience, the wisdom of King and Mahatma Gandhi, Cesar Chavez, Dorothy Day, and others. And that's our way. When we gathered 10,000 strong last November and going back with even more this year, our way out of this is through nonviolent direct action. Let me just mention, we've got 24 of our people right now as we gather in prison. From going on to Fort Benning last November to cross this line and was called a funeral procession, simply remembering, calling out the names of the victims. They were arrested. You can't send that many 3,500 people to prison, so they sent 24. At the federal prison in Pekin, Illinois, are nine of our women. Rachel Hayward, she's a sophomore at Kalamazoo College, where I just spoke a couple days ago. She's there in the group. Sister Dorothy Hennessy, an 88-year-old nun from Dubuque, Iowa. Why are they there? For this nonviolent protest, for using their voices for the voiceless. And I can only say we should be aware that in prison today, we have got political prisoners, prisoners of conscience, as we refer to them. Let me just say they're energizing our movement.
We have about 15 minutes left, and I hope the caller will forgive me for going on. We do have others. In fact, the lines are full. We'll take next caller in Urbana, line 2. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I want to say at a time when we're celebrating heroes in the United States, I think Father Bourgeois and the other people who have gone to prison are real heroes of the United States. But I also want to pick up on something that the father said in regard to people who are very much involved in this policy in Central and South America. He mentioned Elliot Abrams, who at the time was Assistant Secretary of State, and it's obscene that his full title was Assistant Secretary of State for Human Rights, because during his tenure, he helped violate the human rights of so many people in Central and Latin America. Where is he now? In June, he became Special Assistant to President Bush and also a counselor to the National Security Council for Democracy and Human Rights. Also, our new confirmed ambassador to the United States, John Negroponte, was the former ambassador to Honduras. He worked very closely with Colonel Alvarez, the CIA asset, who was in charge of the military in Honduras. And it was during his tenure that the U.S.-trained Battalion 316, or Special Investigations Directorate, were assassinating any opposition to the Contraparty or the political framework in Honduras.
Yeah, I just want to interject that many of those in Battalion 316 that you're speaking of now, the key players are graduates of the School of the Americas.
That's absolutely correct. And because there was going to be debate on Negroponte's appointment, and after September 11th, he just went through like
that. Yes, I just heard that.
The symbolism of where the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations was part of this horrific experience. And we wonder why the people in the world are angry with us and hostile toward us.
Yes. Well put. I couldn't say it better. I just want to affirm what you're saying. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to line three, and this is Champagne. Hello?
Yes, thank you. As you probably know, those of us in the peace movement are under attack now. I just point to last night's editorial in the News Gazette, which is titled "Peaceniks Declare War on U.S. And this writer, Mark Burley, who's a professor at Columbia University and also president of the Foundation of America and our Academic Standards and Tradition, attacks the people in the peace movement for pointing out the very kinds of things you're doing right now, and goes on rather spuriously to say that what we're actually doing is justifying the brutal killing of these people in New York and Washington, D.C. And I just find that sort of equation really disgusting and an internal attack on democracy.
You bet. We're very concerned about this now. We see, civil liberties, as we know, is really going to come under fire, all in the name of protecting national security. We're going to be called names as we were called during the Cold War, anti-war movement in Vietnam. When we started first opposing this School of the Assassins down in Georgia, when we went there, we were considered, unpatriotic, go home, agitators, outside agitators. And I have to say now, we're going to be, under fire. But to be very honest, what I'm hearing as I travel around to colleges, and I was so encouraged by the article this morning when hundreds from the university here gathered, there's a lot of support out there. Groups I'm running across on college campuses who are meeting, going down to the federal building, going downtown, holding up signs, like this big sign a student was holding up. I saw in the paper here, an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. And they're getting a lot of support. They're certainly getting some thumbs down, name calling. But needless to say, our voices are needed in the arena now more than ever. And I would encourage our listeners to be a part of this growing movement, as we saw in today's paper, the students coming together and saying, no, not in our name. Our voices have to be out there.
Well, certainly, I think you're much more patriotic than Elliot Abrams.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580. I should again introduce our guest. We're speaking with Father Roy Bourgeois. He was ordained a Catholic priest in 1972 after having gone through the seminary of the Maryknoll Missionary Order. He worked in Bolivia and in El Salvador and, as a result, became an outspoken critic of U.S. foreign policy in Latin America. In 1990, he founded the School of America's Watch. This is an organization that aims at promoting awareness of U.S. policy in Latin America, but specifically the activities of the School of the Americas, which is a U.S. Army training facility. It trains and has since 1946 trained soldiers and military personnel from Latin America. The concern of this organization is that a healthy percentage of these people went on to violate the human rights of the people in the countries where they lived. And it's the goal of the School of America's Watch to see the School of the Americas closed. And to that end, they've been involved in peaceful, nonviolent protest for a number of years. And a lot of people, as a result, have gone to jail. And there are people in jail today as a result of being involved in these protests. Our guests will be giving a talk tonight at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston, by the way, in the Buzzard Auditorium. at 7 o'clock, and it's free and open to anybody who would like to attend. Questions here are also welcome, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. And again, we do have less than 10 minutes, so we'll just have to ask people, that if you can, try and be brief so that we can get as many folks in as we can in the time that remains. Next caller up is in Southern Illinois on line 4. Hello.
Okay, good. You're giving me the chance.
Yes.
Well, I don't think anybody is justifying what happened in New York. I am not, definitely. I am from South America, and I came on a program which is the mission is for better understanding among countries. That is the mission of the program that I came. And you said that, you know, you are against the U.S. Policies in Latin America. And I find that very interesting. One thing that caught my attention is that Latin America is a poor country. I come from one that might not be one of the poorest, so I'm in a little advantage there. However, there are many things I could complain, and I'm not going to go over it because I have many times before. And I think the hostess of the program is a little tired to hear about that. But you know that religion in Latin America has been used as a panacea to give the people to submit.
Let me just, yes, I know.
Just a second. This authoritarian government. And many times detrimental to the people. And, I mean, USA giving spiritual encouragement and a desire of freedom to the people. Okay, what does the freedom and spiritual support mean when these people are starving? What they probably wonder, what is that? Do you eat it?
Yes.
Spiritual support? Is it something that you can eat and fill my stomach?
Let me just address that. You bring up an important point. Really, religion has been used down in Latin America as, in a sense, another way of keeping the poor silent, repressed. But that's changing. In my experience there in what's called liberation theology, which gives hope to the poor. Their theology was a colonial theology, a very cruel theology. But today, they realize that those resources there have been put there by, they say, you know, in Bolivia, by Pachamama, the earth goddess here among the indigenous. And there's enough here for everybody. What's been put here for everyone has ended up into the hands of a small group. So what we have, though, are people now, really, whose theology is about liberation. They're being empowered by their faith rather than repressed by it. And there's a lot of hope here. Very important. Let me just say, because our time's getting short, we really need a lot more information from some of us about, you know, the issue of the School of the Americas, the School of Assassins on U.S. soil, all financed by us, the taxpayers, and what this means to the poor of Latin America, as you mentioned. We've got a website that's very important. It's www.soaw.org. That's soaw.org. Or you can write SOA Watch, Box 4566, Washington, D.C., 20017. Very important also, we've got a new resource called SOA Guns and Greed. It connects this issue, the School of the Americas, to the corporations, the sweatshops, U.S. foreign policy. We've got to make those connections today. This school provides the muscle for our foreign policy in Latin America. And that video, SOA Guns and Greed, can be ordered by calling 1-800-227-8523. That's 800-227-8523. That's SOA Guns and Greed.
Well, I understand your point, but the people do not. This is from the time of the caveman. The caveman was willing to kill the other one because they didn't have food and they needed to fill the stomach. So I am not condoning what the the training that is done in different places in the world. I am not either. I'm not for it.
But let me, I just want to say, you know, affirm what you're saying, that, you know, the poor of Latin America, poor of the world, do not need more guns. You know, we've got more weapons in our country than ever before. It means, you know, mass destruction. But never before have we felt less secure. What does this say? And I know in Latin America, the starting point there is the human condition of suffering. Most, the vast majority of our sisters and brothers are struggling for survival, living in these shacks, no running water, no schools, no medicines when their kids are sick. That's the starting point. Do they need a school where their soldiers are going to be learning commando skills? No. They need food. Just wages. They need land reform. And this is what our foreign policy, we feel, can be about.
We just have about 2 minutes left. I want to try to get maybe one more person here. This is Champagne, line two. Please go ahead, but you'll have to be quick.
Okay. On hearing the recent pronouncements about eradicating terrorism from the world and not distinguishing between those who terrorize and those who harbor terrorists, it immediately occurred to me that we've trained and supported many terrorists, the School of the Americas being one glaring example.
Yes.
So it has also occurred to me that that this crusade could possibly be turned against the fanatics in our government and used to enlighten the population. So I commend you for having this show, but if you just want to talk to that link for a minute.
Well,
thank you.
Okay.
Yes, well, very true. It bothered me, of course, to read just last week in Associated Press, the State Department has classified the paramilitaries of Colombia as a worldwide terrorist organization. What we saw in Colombia, how the Colombian military that we're arming and training here and also there, we've got 40 Green Berets from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, how they work very, very closely, the military does, with the paramilitary forces who are now being classified by our State Department as an official worldwide terrorist organization. We've got to start making those connections. Yes, in our backyard, I do believe we can say there is a school of terrorists. There's a school that really causes untold suffering and death in Latin America.
We're going to have to stop because we've come to the end of the time. I want to mention one more time that for people who are in and around East Central Illinois, our guest, Father Roy Bourgeois, will be speaking tonight at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston in the Buzzard Auditorium. That's at 7th and Polk Streets at 7 o'clock. This is free and open to the public. And also, as he mentioned a moment ago, for people who can get to the Internet, if you're interested in more information about his organization, the School of the Americas Watch, they do have a website at www.soaw, stands for School of the Americas Watch, .org. So you can check them out that way. Father Bourgeois, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you, David. Let me just say real quick that Bishop Oscar Romero, before he was assassinated by graduates of this school, he said, let those who have a voice speak for the voiceless. We've got a voice. I just hope that we can use our voices right now very clearly and boldly. Thank you.
Thanks.